Reader's Digest asked some of its readers what they would change about the English language, some of our words, if they were a wordsmith. And one gentleman sent this suggestion in. We ought to take the first three letters from funeral and the first three letters from badminton and exchange them. It would be a batteral and a fun. That makes sense, right? I thought that was pretty good. Another fellow said, the word pigeon, we ought not to refer to a bird as a pigeon anymore. Pigeon ought to mean the distance a pig travels in an eon. That way things would be nice and consistent. And finally, we have this one from a young mother. She said, we ought to make erasers for crayons, and we could call them crayoffs. There's a lot to be made right in this world, amen? It would be hard to know where to start. In today's text, Paul tells us, don't worry, a day of perfection is near. Pain will disappear, along with frustration, taxes, and injustice. It won't be long. Soon we'll be leaving here and going to a much better place. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Throughout this section, Paul is likening the frustrations of nature with the sufferings that you and I go through. He said that creation is groaning. There are places where molten lava is spilling out of the crust of the earth. We experience earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, tsunamis, and most recently, quite a few hurricanes. Nature has been subjected to frustration. You ever get frustrated? Paul said all of nature is frustrated. It's not what it really wants to be or was created to be. It's in sympathy with the fall of man. God told Adam that once he was out of the garden, it would be by the sweat of his brow that he would be able to make a way for he and for his family. In the garden, everything just grew like it was supposed to. Now, weeds were not a problem. There were no blights or diseases or pests. Out of the garden, the soil became hard. The obstacles to a bountiful harvest multiplied. Not only was man cursed because of his sin, he pulled nature right into the curse with him. Have you ever cared for something very tenderly and it didn't make it? I don't know about you, but I don't have one of those green thumbs. I think mine is black and blue. Now, my mom, I was just visiting with the folks this past week. She's 88 years old. And, has that osteoporosis and different things going on. She's got better looking flowers than I do. And just loves color and always has that splash here and there. But I know what the curse is all about when I try to plant something. Once the curse is lifted, you'll still be reaping last year's harvest when it's time to plant this spring. And if you enjoy nature now, just wait till Liberation Day. Wait until that curse is gone. Flowers will bloom. Crops will grow like weeds. Lions, tigers, and bears, they'll be as cuddly and friendly as puppy dogs. Snakes will just tickle your toddler's ear rather than try to strike at them. Mosquitoes, one took about a pint out of me yesterday when I was mowing the grass. But in that day after Liberation Day, they'll just hum a happy tune while they're going past your ear. Something I'm sure in praise to the Lord. Creation is groaning as in the pains of childbirth right now. Longing for that Liberation Day. Then there won't be any droughts or floods, disease or blights. Plenty of everything for everyone. But not too much of anything. Likewise, human beings are groaning for that day to come, for the effects of the curse to be lifted. You ever get tired? Parts of your body ever ache? You ever wonder, what did I do? Why does that hurt? Sometimes you can connect the dots and say, well, I shouldn't have done. But sometimes it's just like, wow, where did that come from? Pain. How interesting. You ever get sick? I just had a virus that just does not want to go away. They gave me steroids. I like steroids. I don't feel many of the aches and pains that I used to. So maybe it was a blessing to have the virus in the first place. I don't know. Do things always turn out the way you hope they would? You start out your day and you're saying, all right, if everything goes well, did anything ever go well? Do you look forward to checking the headlines every day? And when you see the news, you just, yes, that's great. Oh, I love the news. Or are you a little bit more like me and you, yeah, maybe a couple minutes of news here and there and that's about all you can stand? There's coming a day when no heartache will rise. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. Catch this. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no pain. No more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day, that will be. If you ever longed for happiness, fulfillment, companionship, just wait. It's on its way. Paul began this section of Scripture by saying, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You got any present sufferings? I bet if we put a microphone up here and just one at a time, think really, 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 really hard if there's anything in your life that might be just a mite amiss that you would love to see changed. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. When he wrote that, he was already in his 60s. He had been beaten so many times. He had so many scars on his body. He had a disease in his eyes. He could hardly see what he was doing. And it was a painful kind of a thing to have to deal with. He was in prison. All these things gone on. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing. So if you were in prison today and you had a lot of pain, you could say this verse right along with him. I consider that what I'm going through right now is minuscule compared to the glory that is about to be revealed, about to be burst out on all of us. The joys of our new home will be far greater than the pains of our present existence. As soon as we're on the other side, I don't know if you've seen those commercials lately, What Pain? They've got a person double jointed doing this, that, and the other thing. That's what we're going to say. What pain? What headache? What heartache? What's a problem after all? Maybe like me, you've often marveled at how difficult the good life can be. And I live a good life. I have a beautiful wife. I have great kids. I have lots of stuff. Plenty of everything I need and more. I have enjoyed good health, and I thank God for that so often during the day. Thank you, Lord, for these abilities. I've not been in the emergency room since I was a teenager, on my own behalf. I've not been in a hospital overnight since I was born, on my own behalf. I live in the shadow of a super Walmart. Lowe's is less than a mile from my house. I never have to worry about having forgotten something at the store. I just go right back. It's no problem. They keep the shelves stocked for me. I don't have to worry about having it all in my garage. I got brand new stuff right around the corner anytime I need it. What a life. On any given night, I can grill steaks, or I can go out to eat and be served like a king. Are you ready for dessert, sir? Is what they will ask. Yet I know what it is for health care and taxes to keep rising, for appliances to break and loved ones to suffer. I am familiar with grief, fear, uncertainty, and trouble. I've had people I love turn on me for no reason I could figure out. We've had our share of leaky pipes, angry neighbors, unreasonable employers, uncertain days, flat tires, spiders, and mice. We've watched our kids suffer from those growing pains that we couldn't prevent. Paul says, Liberation Day is coming. A trumpet is going to sound, and we are going to be caught up with him forever in the clouds. Verse 22 says, We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan. Doesn't that sound kind of oxymoronish? Not only so, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. In fact, that's what salvation is all about. That's why we got saved. That's what we're doing here this morning. Take away heaven, and why are we here? Take away our hope of being with Jesus soon, and why would we serve him? We are gathered in the hope that one day we will be with Jesus in heaven forever. So take just a minute, close your eyes. Take a deep breath and know that it's going to be so peaceful, it's going to be so good, and it's going to come so soon.